بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, we're talking about desires and ambition and the desire to do well in a worldly sense in this life, and how that fits with Islam or does not fit with Islam. As I mentioned to you yesterday, there is nothing wrong in having good desires, a desire for happiness, a desire for wealth, a desire for power and influence, a desire to have a good family, have children, and so on and so forth. There's absolutely nothing wrong in having any of these desires, or even all of those desires. What Islam tells us to do is not to eliminate the desire, but Islam shows us the way to deal with the desire, the way to address that desire. What must I do with this desire? And the short answer is, I must seek to fulfill that desire in a way that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I must convert that desire into a way of pleasing Allah. For example, I have a desire, supposing I have a desire for wealth. I want to be a wealthy person. Is it a good desire or a bad desire? There's nothing wrong with the desire. It's perfectly good, inshallah. But what must I do? I must look at the means of acquiring that wealth. And when I have the wealth, I must see how do I spend this wealth? Where and how do I spend this wealth? So as long as I am acquiring wealth in a halal way, following the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as long as I am fulfilling and spending that wealth in a halal place, then this wealth will be like the wealth of Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu and Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, the wealthy Sahaba, and there were others, of course, Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, for example, and many others. Wealthy Sahaba who earned halal, who did not show off, who did not spend that wealth ostentatiously, and they used that wealth in order to earn Jannah. They use that wealth in a way which, inshallah, pleased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the meaning of how to deal with wealth. What about power and authority? Of course, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not give leadership, do not give imamat to somebody who asks for it, who seeks it. So obviously, I'm not talking about chasing power and authority. But say you get this power and authority, you are put in a place of power and authority, and maybe there is even a desire in your heart that I should be given some power and authority. Fi nafsi, there is nothing wrong with that. It's not haram. But the question again becomes, once you get it, how do you deal with it? Do you deal with it like a tyrant? Or do you deal with it like Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, like Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, like Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu? When Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu became the Khalifa, Khalifatu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was the only one whose title was Khalifatu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was not called Amirul Mu'mineen. Amirul Mu'mineen was a title that came from the time of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu had this, when he became Khalifa to Rasulullah, he came out of his house. He had two wives. One was in the house next to Masjid Nabawi, and the other one was in a house which was a little bit away on the outskirts of Medina. So he was there, and in the morning when he came out of his house, there was a girl who called out and said, well, Abu Bakr has now become the ruler, so he will not help us anymore. Now, what he used to do, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, was to milk their goats for them. So the girl said, now he is the ruler, he is not going to help us. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, because I am the ruler, I will help you even more. Because earlier I used to help you because I wanted to help you, now I have to help you because I want to help you, and also because now it is my duty to help you. Now that is the quality of the ruler. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu used to go around in the night, as we know, looking for people who might need his help, people who might not have been able to reach him, to see who needs his help. And we have the famous story of a man he saw sitting outside his tent on the outskirts of Medina. There was a camp. This man was sitting outside his tent. From inside the tent, you could hear the sound of a woman in pain and groaning and moaning, and you know. So Sayyidina Umar went to him and he said, what is happening? So the man said, go away, it's none of your business. He didn't recognize the Amir al-Mu'mineen, didn't recognize the Khalifa. He said, go away, who are you? How does it concern you? Sayyidina Umar said, look, I want to help you. I mean, obviously something is wrong. What's wrong? He said, what is wrong is that my wife is in labor. She is about to deliver a baby. We are alone here. She has no help. I have no help. I have no idea what to do. And we have no friends here. We are strangers to this place. That is the problem. So Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said to him, he told him, wait, I'll come back. He went home and he said to his wife, her name was Umm Kulthum bint Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. And those who claim that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu and Sayyidina Ali were enemies, they must read history. The Sahaba were closer to each other than brothers. Sayyidina Ali married his daughter to Sayyidina Umar. You don't marry your daughter to the enemy. So he asked his, he said to his wife, do you want to get Jannah? So she said, how do I get Jannah? Well, yes, I want to get Jannah. What do you want? So he said that there is, then he said, then take some, you know, get some water, take some utensil to boil the water and so on. He said to her, he said, this is the problem. This man is having, so he said, okay, I know what to do. So she took some water, she took some fuel, you know, pot to boil the water. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu took some flour to make bread and some food, and they went there. And his wife went inside. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu boiled the water, got the water hot, passed it into the tent. And then he started cooking some food for this couple. And as he was sitting there cooking the food, some time passed and this woman delivered a baby. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu's wife called out from inside. She said, yeah, Amir al-Mu'mineen, tell your friend that he has a son. That is when the man realized who this person was. This person who was serving his wife, within quotes, technically speaking, the queen of the country. She was delivering the baby of some random, tribal woman in a tent. And the king of the country was cooking the food for this man who was a nobody from nowhere. So, having a desire for government, having a desire for authority, or if you have this authority, is it good or bad? It is good if you can do it like Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu did it. And it is evil more than any evil if we do what others did thereafter. People like Yazid bin Muawiyah, bin Abi Sufyan, for example, who was instrumental and thanks to whose rule and thanks to whose command, the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Husayn bin Ali radiallahu anhu, was, and his family, many of them, were killed, were shaheed. This is also a ruler. This is all, the other one is also a ruler. I remind myself and you, there's nothing wrong in having desire for wealth, for knowledge, for power, for authority, for prosperity. Nothing wrong. Provided we acquire it and we spend it in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to do and according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we don't do that, and if we do it differently, that is where the problem comes. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَآلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا رَحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ